Hello, this is Robert Smog with Europe's podcast, where we talk to the entrepreneurs who are making it happen here in Lisbon, Portugal. Now get ready for an inspiring conversation with Pedro Henriquez. Pedro is the CEO and co-founder of Bridge Inc. Pedro has almost 20 years in developing, restructuring, and managing tech businesses. He is a senior manager of distributed teams in cross-border, multicultural, and multi-language environments. In 2020, he founded Bridge Inn to help decentralize organizations expand globally by automating bureaucracy and company management by applying algorithms and AI to legal, tax, and payroll fields. Pedro, welcome to the Europe's podcast. We appreciate you taking the time to share your entrepreneurial journey with all our listeners.
Thank you so much for the invite. Glad to be here.
Okay, just tell us a little bit more about yourself. We know you're just outside of Lisbon, actually, and tell us a little bit more yourself and kind of give us the breakdown of your current business, Bridge Inn.
Absolutely. So I'm an engineer at heart, you know, my area of study, software engineering, but I really feel like an engineer, and I should say maybe even a builder. I'm really passionate about seeing things appear, grow, you know, out of nothing, or out of a lot of times our just ideas, our brains. And that's why I kind of joined also into this entrepreneurship bandwagon, because it's really the passion about creating something, you know, obviously, you know, make it profitable, but just the act of creation, I think it's a lot what motivates me. And that in a way also justifies why I'm north of Lisbon, close to Ericeira, or to be precise, Mafra, for those that might know. I am a father of three, so I also love to see, you know, the young childs grow into adults. And in here, I actually have not only more space to make them have, I think, a little bit more, you know, outdoorsy experience growing up, but I also picked up during the pandemic some gardening, and now I have a bit of a backyard where I can actually put that in practice. So that's me, you know, an engineer, a builder, from companies to people to, you know, trees, and you know, the right now I'm trying to get some lettuce growing up on a bit of a small farm. So yeah, I also been a teacher for about 7 years at the university in Lisbon. I only really stopped it to, you know, fully dedicate to Bridge Inn, because it is a full-time job. You know, you need to spend all your energy, I guess, into the business. But that's me.
Okay, good. Okay, now we've all had jobs before, regular jobs as employees and so forth. So obviously you're in that space as well. What job experience helped you the most, both in the work that you currently do and the role as an entrepreneur? So how does your experience as an employee, and now that you're an entrepreneur, what did you take away from being an employee that you can adapt to being an entrepreneur? Any takeaways there?
Quite a few. So when you look at entrepreneurs and, you know, the startups particularly, a lot of times I believe you'll see a lot of people young starting up. You know, then there's all these theories that actually the average age of a successful entrepreneur is actually much longer in life, in the 40s. But the reality is, if I go to events, I see a lot of people much younger than me, right? I did start a little bit late. I start basically just shy of getting to 40. And maybe it's a bit of, you know, that confidence, imposter syndrome, taking the leap. The reality is I was being fairly successful working in IT, because obviously it's an industry that, you know, produces and gives opportunity. And really early on, working on IT consultancy companies, I got the chance to start have some managerial responsibilities. So, you know, pretty much after having a stable job for 2 years, I started a business unit at the company I was at the time. And obviously that brought all the managerial, you know, figure out how to sell, you know, make a proposition in terms of value offering to the market, manage team, deliver, be responsible for a P&L, all of that stuff. And that learning obviously is helpful, right? And so in a way, I learned the ropes, I learned skills working for others that provided me a lot more confidence to later on in life to become an entrepreneur. Now, I could also, I guess, learn by doing, probably fail at it, you know, early on as a startup entrepreneur. I did end up going a different way. But to your question, to be precise, I think the one past work, you know, that I did that probably prepared me the most was pretty much the last one. So I'm based in Portugal, Lisbon, but I had a very good fortune of being able to work for a private equity firm in Austin, Texas. And although I was already working in, a multinational environment with projects across Europe, the reality is I was reporting to a Portuguese structure, right? So my CTO at the time was Portuguese. Now, when I started working for the PE firm, my CEO that I reported to was in Austin. And so the size of the deals, the perspective of the business is much different. And I think that really brought a lot of, awareness in terms of how business is done at the international level. So I think that probably was the kicker to feel confident enough to join this adventure of being an entrepreneur.
Okay, now let's talk a little bit about Bridge Inn. Now, it takes a lot to start a company financially. Did you have some financial backing, investors, et cetera? Did you bootstrap it? And how do you currently make money now in the business?
So I guess a mix of all of that. So I did have some helps, friends and family. So people know others, right? And I got essentially 100K to get started. Have not taken any further investment since. Considering eventually going to professional investors, typically VCs, maybe even a private equity growth. We are profitable, so that's how we make money. So we grow the business to become profitable, and we essentially have been reinvesting all profits into growth. The reality is we do have a high ambition, so sometimes you can fuel and accelerate that by receiving further capital. Getting from 0 to 1 is really complex, obviously, and I can say that I was privileged by having friends that could give a little bit of capital just to get the few first things done, right? And that helped a lot, no doubt.
Okay. Now, how do you do clients? Is it a consulting-based service or is it software? What is this? How are you making money? How do you bill?
Yeah, so it's a mix actually, right? So as you mentioned on the intro, what we focus on the bureaucracy about managing a business, right? So and this came out of personal need, right? I started my first business and dealing with lawyers and accountants. It was pretty messy, pretty boring, custom, inefficient through emails. Emails take weeks to be answered. Not great experience, and put my engineering hat and say, and there must be a better way, right? So, and obviously, right now with the developments in AI, but also a lot of automation, there's so much more things that you can automate, standardize first, then automate, to bring that efficiency to the companies. And all these areas, law, accounting, and tax, and payroll even are also, I believe, very low digitization, particularly in countries like Portugal. If you go to the UK, to the US, Estonia, for instance, is known by having a very digitized government. But that's not the case in Portugal. And interesting enough, we started in Portugal. We already opened operations last year in Spain and are opening right now in Italy. And we are exactly focusing on markets that have high bureaucracy and low digitization. So how do we make money? We make money by a mix of consultants because we need to have them, right? We can't be having legal advice not from lawyers. So we do have lawyers. And for you to have an accounting signing your, accounts, you do need to have an accountant, on the bar association and all of that. So we do have those. Where we differentiate is having an interface, a typical bring as much of a SaaS-like experience to manage all of that. Does not mean that you need to talk with a human being to sign something or giving you a specific custom advice, but there's a lot that you can do way more automated. Think expense reimbursement, think validate payroll, think review the numbers, have a forecast in terms of cost for operating expenses in the next quarter. There's a lot of that. Then when you have the data, you can, pretty much do it easily through software.
Okay, I want you to give me one piece of knowledge or information about your industry specifically that the common person may not know about. So we're talking general public here. If you were to talk to them, they don't know anything about bridging. They don't know anything about billing and payrolls and stuff like that. Just something general that they could learn from you about this industry.
So I would say there's, that I think very good expression that a lot of times we know things that we do not know, right? And I guess a lot of entrepreneurs, business owners know they don't know a lot about accounting and law, but they know kind of enough. The problem is the unknown unknowns, right? Well, what you don't know, we do not know. And I guess one of the things there is cross-border operations, right? So, and this applies to tax and applies to law. Because your assumption on how labor law, for instance, works in your country of origin and in the country, they might not have a lot of things in common, right? And obviously, if the countries are similar within Europe, you know, we have the EU umbrella, so things are kind more or less the same. But still, just between Portugal and Spain, there's like two or three different things that make all the difference in terms of labor law. But the other thing is, when you have people moving, either through visas or, you know, being working for because they need to work on a mission, dispatched to another country for a little bit, it gets really thorny in terms of tax. And the problem is sometimes you cannot get a good answer, regardless of how experts, people you are, you talk to, sometimes you get no answers. And the reason is the law in a country goes to a certain point, right? In terms of what to expect to regulate within that country. But only regulate so far in terms of when you interface and interact with another country. The other country, conversely, does not necessarily take off from where you start. So sometimes there are holes and lags and things that don't fall under jurisdiction on one country or the other. So it can be really murky. And a lot of people that we talk to want to have like a straight plan, but when it includes cross-border regulations, it can be really, really messy. And this is something that I was not necessarily aware of. I think I probably bored the audience here, but it is a real thing. Even in Europe, business cross-borders is pretty complex.
Yeah, I can imagine. Okay. What are you most proud of in the terms of the work you do with BridgeIn?
So I'll say like two things. One is have a value proposition that really creates value for everyone, you know, so it's not extractive in any way. I'm not talking about extractive industries. I'm talking about creating through true value, right? And have financial incentives in terms of how we build and all of that, that is really based on value creation for our customers. And I think designing that sort of value proposition is not always trivial, but I think it's really good when you see it and you build it. But I would say maybe, you know, just looking at raw numbers, I mentioned earlier that we got 100K to start off from Frames. And reality is I kind of, me and, well, everyone at Bridgin converted that in 15 million revenue since 2020, right? Inception to date. And, you know, that's a pretty good multiple, taking 100K and convert it in 15 million revenue. So, you know, I'm really proud of, about that.
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about working and operating your business in Portugal. Okay, so what is the long-term vision of your company? Do you see your company expanding into other areas and beyond Portugal or even Europe?
Yes, absolutely. So our 5-year plan is to cover as much countries in Europe that we can. The reality is Europe is a big economic bloc. Unfortunately, we still have a lot of fragmentation within the different countries, not only languages, but tax codes, labor laws, all of that things, right? And so if we want to be more unite, I think that we, you know, a business owner, it might come from the United States or any other region really, doesn't want to look at Europe as a fragmented, right? It would be great to look at it as a unified. So I believe there is amazing value if you can create a unified experience that does take into consideration local regulations, but at least has that, you know, layer of software that you know where to look for information, regardless of the detail underlying it. So that's our big goal for the next 5 years, to be all over Europe. We keep an eye on opportunities outside, but we need to work on countries, and this is, I mean, delivering our value, right? We need to work in countries where there is rule of law, where things work according to regulations, because we can never automate if, you know, rules are not followed. It's an informal economy, right? So we need to stay pretty much in countries where we can set up that standardization and automation.
Okay, so you start your business in Portugal. So let's talk a little bit about Portugal. What are the biggest benefits of being an entrepreneur in Portugal? I want you to give me some of the good points about starting a company in Portugal, but also give me some of the challenges that you've had to overcome along the way that you may not have experienced in other countries, or just some things to look out for, considering that you guys have the digital nomad visa there. There's a lot of
Right,
entrepreneurship
right.
there, things like that. So if someone was coming to Portugal and said, "Hey, I'm about to set up shop," you're having coffee with them, what are some of the things that you would discuss? Or what would you tell them? Good points and the good things and the tough things. Give me both.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. So, a couple of things. So first one, I would say, generally speaking, we have good technical education. And this could be software engineering, for instance. You can get good talent in Portugal, but also on, the areas again of accounting, law, and all. Everything that is kind of technical, you can find good people here. Second, on the positives, is the startup ecosystem is, I think it's pretty easy to get around. People are friendly. There's a lot of ideation. There's a lot of also goodwill. Government sees this as an important part of the country's economy. So there's generally this goodwill to make it happen. Now, the less good, and on the same topics, actually, there's a lot of ideation. There's a lot of incubation. There's not enough acceleration. Okay. And by that is, what is the, we supposedly have a few unicorns in Portugal and all. The reality is, I don't think we have enough. And one of the things the ecosystem, I believe, is missing is a true exit from one of those unicorns with great valuations, and have, the leadership team or the initial cohort of contributors at that team exit, reinvest either as new founders or like in VCs, and have also a VC infrastructure that is not folks from banks, but actually are folks from previous founders. I think that we need to have that to get to like stage two of the entrepreneurship environment. The other thing, the first topic on the kind of less good side, I guess, is we have great technical education. I do not believe we have great business education. So, and this is not new. What I typically ask people is, if you are not from Portugal, if you don't know much about Portugal, what is the Portuguese brand that you know worldwide? Right? And people say, oh, it's a small country, small economy. Sure, Norway is also small, Sweden is also small, Israel is also small and population comparable. But you know companies from there, don't you? Where is the one from Portugal that you know, right? So there is, I think, unfortunately, a lack of good business mindset, and that's visible on managers of companies. It is visible on the workers of companies. People often don't understand that they need to take their core capacities in terms of technology or technical areas, but if they work on a for-profit company, they need to understand how that creates business value. Right. And we lack a lot of that, unfortunately. Not necessarily a big problem if you need, workers to do a great job, but you need eventually to have a more broad recruitment if you're looking to get people with a lot of business acumen.
Okay, so how do you define success and how do you celebrate success? There's a lot of ups and downs with entrepreneurship and obviously your business, and you've gone through a lot. But what for you personally would be a success story other than getting a big client or something like that, happy employees? What for you personally would say, hey, this is something where I can be happy about what I've achieved here? And how would you define that?
Well, I think I need to go a bit with what you said. And this is interesting because I have a bit of a struggle that I try to share my perspective, not necessarily always well received, which is celebrating revenue. Honestly, why? Because if you deliver something and people pay for, you are creating value in the economy, right? You are producing something, product, services, whatever, that someone is willing to pay for. And so I believe in capitalism. And so I believe one company is creating value in the economy. And if all companies did that, we'll be much better. And I think sometimes in startups, we glorify fundraising, not revenue. And so I am very critical about this, because, I'm sorry, but it does not impress me much if you raise 10 million and have 1 million revenue with 3 million loss on your P&L. Sorry. So yeah, a lot of businesses take time to grow. Sure, fine. But the goal should be producing value. And the ultimate validation about that is having people paying to whatever you're producing.
Yeah, it's in the numbers a lot of times. Okay, how do you deal with fear and doubt if you've had a bad month or if you've like, whoa, where's the business going? Clients leave, etc., and things like that. You've gone through the ups and downs, we all do. How do you keep a level head about things as you go about in your day-to-day work?
Sleep it over, I think. So yeah, absolutely true. We all go through crisis, some small, some bigger. I think, it's there's the old saying of, worry about the things you can control and, don't really about things you cannot control. And you can never, you can do a lot of things to try to avoid some problems, but others are unavoidable, like all the macroeconomics, right? What can we do about inflation and all of that? And so I think it's, sleep it over, right? Better days will come. Sun shines in Portugal at least a lot of days out of the year. So, you won't be happy, excited, super pumped and energetic every single day. So when there's rough days, just, put your hand down, get something done, maybe focus on easier to do tasks. And, work on that big problem 2 days down the line, right? You'll get, a little bit of separation, you are not venting and ranting, and so you'll get energized to tackle it. Because again, yeah, things come and go. We also get sick, often 2, 3 days, and we get better, right? So it's applying the same principle.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about health routines and things like that. Entrepreneurs, obviously, you need to be on their game all the time. It's not easy. A lot of entrepreneurs that I've spoken to are very health conscious people. They exercise a lot. You've got a family, obviously, you got kids, you got a lot of commitments and so forth. How do you balance work-life balance? Do you have a routine? Do you get up early in the morning at 4 a.m.? Cold plunge, or do you read in the morning? Do you have an exercise routine? Give me a little bit about how you stay healthy.
Yep. No, very good question. So I'm a bit of a night owl. Definitely not great waking up early. I would love to, quite honest, because I think it's great when you start up, still quiet in the house and all, but I'm a night owl, right? So I much rather work late nights than early mornings. I think it's not necessarily great, but that's me, very health conscious, or should I say getting more health conscious. So I think, I realize that we are not young forever, right? And you start to see a toll. So I start, running, walking, go a little bit to the gym. And you know what that is? I found that, and I don't, to be honest, never been a super big sports guy. So it's not like I love it, but I found something really cool. And there might be a question down there about maybe books, right? I have a lot of ones that I read, and you know how I read them? And this is something I picked up with my CEO back in Austin, audiobook,
Yeah,
right?
podcast,
So,
audiobooks.
right. So podcast, audiobooks, while walking, while running even, and I know maybe like a super energetic music could give you that extra boost, but I try to multitask a little bit, physical activity with mental activity, and let my brain go listen something, get the brain thinking while, the feet are moving. And so that to me works really well. And I think it's just a time that you're not stressed out of operational day-to-day problems. Now I go for a walk, now I go for a run. Like when I come back, I'll check emails. Let me just listen something, think about something, let your brain wander. I think that's amazing. And I must say something about how I start the day. Coffee. Like, don't talk to me. I said I'm a night owl. Do not talk to me until I got my
Morning
morning
chava.
coffee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you talked a little bit about audiobooks. Can you be more specific? Can you give us an example of a book that you love that influenced you, that mentored you, that gave you some good insight, or even a podcast, if there's a podcast you listen to, but can you get give me some titles?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. So my wife thinks I cheat a little bit by actually listening to audio, not, the book, but I don't think so. I think it's all about the content, isn't it? So I picked up a lot of volume by using this sort of tricks. I listen to, this audio content while I'm cooking, when I'm driving, when I'm walking. So it's introduces a lot of opportunities. Some titles. I think I'm not the only one, but everything, the author from Sapiens. I know I'm reading to the Nexus, Yuri. I'm missing always the name, but you know who is
Which one's this?
Sapiens? Really, really known
Sapiens.
author.
Oh
Sapiens.
yeah.
Yes, sorry,
Sapiens.
my
Yeah, I read
enunciation.
that book. Yeah, it's about the
From
evolution of the.
Yuval Noah Harari. That's the
Yeah.
one. I love everything from him, by the way. So I'm on the third book in 2 years. Love everything from him. One book that I really liked that probably was more influential in terms of the business was No Rules by Reed Hastings at Netflix. I love the ideas around, keeping the flexibility and all of that. And then there's a lot of others. Crossing the Chasm.
Wasn't that the title of that book? This'll Never Work? Or That'll Never
There's a
Work?
lot of. I will tell you one thing. I will tell you one thing. After a while, books tend to start repeating themselves. It's kind of the same ideas rehashed in a different way. So lately, what I've been doing is listening, not reading, listening to bios. And I think that's really interesting because you learn from others, right? You obviously story are always glorified, talked in hindsight, but I think there's a lot of interesting things. For instance, the Shoe Dog, I believe, from Nike,
Shoe dog,
which is not even like very technology, but I really love that one. I think it's such a very interesting story to follow. Obviously, I read the ones from Super Pumped about Uber, the one from Theranos, Azel, Elizabeth Holmes story, and all of that. So I think bios are really interesting. I try to keep them. You learn a lot, things that worked, things that didn't, even personal struggles that you go through. So yeah, I'm currently doing one more, conceptual book in a way, and then a bio afterwards. And what I also find is bio stories are usually easier to follow. So I think they are a little bit more enjoyable because it's a story about someone's life, right? And I think it's everyone has their life, so.
I like to read bios and things of people that I can relate to as well. Like if I know them, like the Nike guy, right? Phil Knight and people like that that have you've followed along the way, you know their company and so forth, their philosophy and what that looks like. So, okay, now let's talk about advice you've received. You may have had mentors or other entrepreneurs or people in the industry. Is there anything that has someone has said to you that has resonated with you that, wow, this person is a entrepreneur, maybe they might be, up here or whatever that looks like, and they told you, they said, Pedro, this is the way I see the world as an entrepreneur. And is there anything that advice you've just said, wow, that's how, and maybe even relay that to other people and use that. Is there something that you could give us, a gem?
I'm thinking about something that was not too long ago, maybe, so that's fresher in my mind. And I think we all need advice, right? I think a lot of times what I'm kind of uncovering as we go is that nobody knows more about Regine than I do, right? I leave the business day and night. Regardless, we can all learn from each other. Nobody will give us like a so the solution for a problem we have, but we can say something that makes you think in another perspective about something. And that's really important. So here's the perspective I got recently that I really didn't have, which was so someone that was actually my colleague back in the university, really successful entrepreneur. And I was grabbing lunch with him and he says, yeah, I grew the business. We make a lot of money. I have a big bonus exit coming. So I'm not worried about money anymore in my life. However, I'm not enjoying working in the business I created because it's so bureaucratic. It grew so much. There's all these people with all these politics. And he says, like, I was so much happier when we were just a few. And this is really interesting, right? Because we have all this focus on growth and progression and tackling bigger challenges. But will we be happier? I don't know. I think I'll probably do the same mistakes, try to grow. But the reality is, it's important that we enjoy the journey. And so this sort of, advice that was not even a solicited advice, right? But just this story made me think, wow, we really need to enjoy the path, not just focus on struggling to get an outcome because we might not even like the outcome how many years down in the future. So we better like the journey and enjoy it while we are doing something.
Okay, so yeah, it's that old traditional saying of enjoy the journey, not the reward at the end, right? So
Yes,
that's
yes,
how we go.
yes.
Okay, we're going to wrap things up. How can our listeners get hold of you? And is there anything you'd like to add that missed out? Anything that you'd like to talk about?
Well, they can get a hold of me, I guess, LinkedIn or email. So my name, Pedro, Enriques, so pedro.enriques@bridgein.pt. That's a great way, or just find me on LinkedIn, Pedro Enriques. Bridgein should not be hard to get me to find me. I'll be, you'll probably also bump into me in some startup events. I have some next week on the Unicorn Factory. And things that I haven't mentioned, I'm also try to be a mentor here and there. I'm really passionate about talking with people and, discuss things and get to a, deeper conversation. So what I like is honest intellectual confrontation. So like there's no bad ideas, no bad opinions, right? So throw anything at me. You can expect, really analytical feedback, but I'm really happy to give that. So, drop me a line, find me whatever. I would be happy because that's really a passion. Not sometimes we don't have time for it, but it's something that I really try to make time because I really, really love. And that's why I also starting to be a mentor, to kind of give back, but also get this challenge and discuss with people.
So this could be in Portugal or it could be outside of Portugal. You're always willing to help other entrepreneurs
Oh,
with.
absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, good. Okay, Pedro, thank you for coming on the show. I've learned a lot about you, and I'm sure our listeners have as well.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. And hopefully what is good for the audience.
Yes, thank you.